Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm vitally interested in our religious liberties and free speech. Why so? Because, ladies and gentlemen, without religious liberties and freedom of speech in America, we would be just as multitudes of other countries around the globe. There are many countries today that you cannot get out on the street corner and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's increasingly becoming that way in America. In multitudes of countries around the globe, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot stand up and speak freely against any political party or political leadership or those that are incumbent in office. But, ladies and gentlemen, in America, we can. And as a Christian, I'm vitally concerned about where we're going as a nation with the subject of religious liberties and free speech and our First Amendment right. In case you missed the last few moments of the previous segment, ladies and gentlemen, a new poll says that majority of Americans say that the First Amendment is outdated and should be modified or canceled. Shockingly, this article says more than half, 51% of Americans responded that the First Amendment is outdated and should be rewritten or canceled. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but and I don't know the age group, this particular article does not say anything about the pollsters and their polling and what age group, but it does point out some very serious things. This article further says, of course, the problem with outlawing so-called hate speech is deciding who determines what type of speech is hateful enough to be illegal. Or we've seen in recent years when the government decides what is or isn't hateful speech, then it's only a matter of time before Americans are overtly punished for expressing our thoughts and our speech. Ladies and gentlemen, this article states in conclusion, the results from CFS survey should make it clear that our country desperately needs to get back to the Constitution, especially increasing our understanding and our awareness and the knowledge of the First Amendment and why it was enacted in the first place. A thriving and free society demands that we prioritize and protect the principles of the freedom of speech and religious liberties that have been the bedrock of our republic for these years, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, across America today, we find the freedom of speech and the religious liberties simply being thwarted and circumvented. And primarily you find that on the college and the university campuses across America. Across America today, we have become, we've seen in the on the campuses of the colleges and universities, they become the bastion of advocates against free speech. You would think that on a college campus and a university where exchange of ideas, pro and con on a subject, would be open channels of communication, but no more. In fact, most colleges and universities today have simply designated a few square feet, most of the time on the backside of the campus, away from the public eye, where they call it a free speech zone. And that's the only place you can go if you want to talk about issues that others disagree with. And even with that, ladies and gentlemen, those that are conservatives politically speaking, have a conservative ideological bent, or those that are Christian conservatives are no longer free to speech on most college free to speak on most college campuses and universities. Ladies and gentlemen, we find that is a mushrooming event on the college campus. Here's an article: free speech laws mushroom in wake of campus protest after a rash of student protest against controversial and conservative speakers on college campuses. State lawmakers around the country are passing legislation that would protect everyone's free speech, yet not everyone agrees. Further, the article says free speech advocates were enraged when Middlebury College student in 2017 drowned out the planned talk by another author, Charles Murray, whose writings many considered racist. The student's chants prevented him from speaking. Some protesters surrounded and jumped on his car after he was ushered out of the lecture hall. The article further says, now lawmakers, mainly Republicans, from states all over the country have subsequently intervened in the matter of free speech and academia by proposing and helping to pass legislation that would make clear students can't interfere with speech of their peers or visitors on campus, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that took place 2 years ago. Now we're now finding it has escalated so far. It's been taking place for several years. This incident we're reading about was in 2017. But as a result of that, today, according to this article, they're pushing for legislation across the nation that college campuses would be allowed to be free speech zones as our Constitution demands. This article further says civil liberties advocates say states are likely to keep adopting such legislation, especially leading up to and following the 2020 presidential election, when political demonstrations will likely be increasing on campuses. They're concerned that some of the proposed laws may be too prescriptive, particularly those that force colleges to carry out certain mandatory punishment for free speech infractions. Ladies and gentlemen, see, the bottom line is you can go too far. The pendulum can swing too far either way. It can swing too far where there's a restriction on free speech, and as a result, it'd be deemed hate speech or improper speech, or it can go too far the other way in protecting it, that then, as a result of that, there would be infractions on free speech that could be harmful to others in some fashion. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, can you imagine America without freedom of speech and religious liberty? I can't imagine it. Perhaps you can. I believe we have a caller on the line. Would you go ahead with your question or comment, please?
Hello. I'd like to make a comment. You know, free speech, I mean, what you're talking about is basically limiting hate speech. But there's like the three M's that lead up to what they're going to do. First, it's like mirth. They make fun of you that they disagree with your views.
That's right.
And then the monetary, they try to take away your income if they disagree with your views, i.e. the flower shops, and finally the murder, if they or violence against a person, if they disagree with your view, what's happening on the campuses and the jumping on the cars, and it's really frightening what's happening and where it's slowly mushrooming to. And if you look back at what happened to Jews in Germany before World War II, it's almost the same pattern. They made fun of them. They took their money away. They didn't get a good job. And finally, well, the final solution. So it really is scary, and I'll get off the air and take your comments off the air. Thank you for your time.
Very good. Thank you so much. That's a very well-stated position. What did you say? Mirth, money, and the murder. The three M's, if they don't like what you're saying. And a good example that our caller just used was what happened with the final solution, as it was called under the Hitler leadership in Germany. And the final solution, as you recall, was simply the incineration of over 6 million Jews to quiet their voice and their position in Germany. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying or advocating that that may be the outcome in America, but I believe we're on the trajectory for that potentiality, lest we wake up and realize what we're doing in our nation with the trying to control by eradicating, removing, or in some way infringing upon the First and Second Amendment rights in our nation. A First Amendment right and religious liberties, let me state it again for those that perhaps did not hear it in the first segment. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today multitudes in the socialist, Marxist, leftist Democratic Party that would love to monitor free speech, would love to in some way take away our free speech and our religious liberties. Across America today, college campuses are the foremost in doing that very thing. But it's not just on college campuses, it's across the nation. In fact, Tucker Carlson, on the Tucker Carlson Show, and I have a transcript here from one of his interviews in relationship to free speech. Tucker Carlson says, Democrats want to limit your free speech. The article reads, Democrats have been trying to weaken freedom of speech for years with hate speech exemptions, says the FNC's Tucker Carlson. Sounds pretty crazy. It is true, though. Well, consider the major freedoms protected by our Bill of Rights, the document that makes America distinct from all other countries, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, the right to keep and bear arms, due process under the law. Now take a close look at today's news. What exactly is threatening those freedoms? Is it Donald Trump? No. Whatever his faults, it is not Donald Trump. It is the left, and they're doing it more aggressively than ever before. If you want to know, Tucker Carlson says, if you want to know what the left is actually doing, listen to the way they attack other people. Start with the fundamental freedoms and the freedom of speech. If they can tell you what to say, you're not free. There's nothing they can make you do. They can't make you do. Listen, his premise is if they can tell you what to say, that is the left, the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, if they can tell you what to do, you're not free. If they can tell you what to do, then they can tell you to do anything else, and you must do it. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this is correct. He says, that is why the founders put it first. It is freedom that comes before all others. You see, if they can tell you what to say or what to do, there's not anything that the left, the Marxist, Socialist, Democratics party, cannot tell you to do. They can tell you to do anything else. The left has spent decades trying to weaken the First Amendment. They have done it in the sneakiest ways possible by creating phony hate speech exceptions out of thin air. Hate speech exceptions out of thin air. That is, ladies and gentlemen, if I can do a little footnote commentary on Tucker Carlson's statement. Things that are freedom of speech, religious liberties, the things that the Word of God advocates for and admonishes us to be against, i.e., the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle that the Bible is clearly against. The whole mantra today in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party is if you're a pastor, preacher, teacher, or a conservative, and you say anything about the sodomite lifestyle, or if you say anything against the murder by way of abortion, then that is hate speech, and it must be quantitatively and qualificationally reduced and or sequestered, and you cannot say that, or you will be prosecuted and persecuted. Even as I spoke earlier, in relationship to the bakers and the florists and the photographers that are Christians and refuse to participate in the sodomite weddings. The article by Tucker Carlson says, so far, the courts have not accepted this idea, the idea that you can limit speech simply because someone else doesn't like what you're saying. So the left has a new plan now. They have allied with big corporations to make it impossible for people to say the wrong thing, things to make a living in their country. You may have heard of the company PayPal. It's an online payment platform, the biggest. If you want to make money online, and many people do, PayPal is essential. In a recent interview with the Wall Street Journal, the CEO of PayPal, Dan Schulman, explained that diversity and inclusion are his company's top values. But of course, he doesn't really mean that. He means the very opposite, Tucker says. Like most on the left, what Schulman actually wants is utter conformity, a world where only approved opinions are allowed. Last year, PayPal banned Alex Jones from using its platform for saying things that they didn't like. They have also banned anti-Muslim activist Laura Loomer, the publication VADAR, and a number of other people or people in organizations whose speech they believe should be silenced. Here's the culmination of this article. Of course, it's about 5 pages long. I'm reading 4 paragraphs. Schulman admitted that his company takes guidance on who they banned from the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's an entirely fraudulent organization that works as an arm of the Democratic National Committee, according to Schulman. The line between the free speech and hate, nobody teaches it in your college. Nobody defines it in the law. Well, that is ridiculous. It is very much defined in the law that has been for 50 years. In 1969, the Supreme Court conclusively decided that hate speech does not exist. But it doesn't matter to Schulman or any of his allies on the left. To them, the First Amendment is merely a legal obstacle to be blocked. It's something to subvert rather than to celebrate, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if that is as clear to you as it is to me of what we're seeing taking place and some that are willing to take a stand and vehemently object to it, of the banning or the circumventing or the using some cloak under the law to prevent the First Amendment, the religious liberties, and the freedom of speech to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a move today, especially found among the socialist Marxist Democrats, that would limit or cancel or infringe upon our religious liberties and freedom of speech. And there's a major, major need for us to understand the need to rally behind President Donald J. Trump, that's done more for our religious liberties and the freedom of speech and the Second Amendment right than any other president in my lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Democrats voted to repeal First Amendment. With House Republicans focused on legislation to boost job creation, the Senate is spending some of its time on an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would repeal the First Amendment with respect to political speech. Democratic Whip Dick Durbin said before the debate ever officially began, "I expect a fully partisan vote," and he was right. So what exactly are the Senate Democrats for and the Republicans against? Section 1 of the proposed amendment says Congress and the states may regulate and set reasonable limits on the raising and spending of money by candidates and others to influence elections. The key word here, and others, meaning anybody that Congress chooses to regulate and to influence elections, meaning not just express advocacy to call on voters to support or oppose a candidate, but any communication politicians may think could influence an election. Ladies and gentlemen, that gives Congress the power to restrict paid communications, political speech about any significant public policy, and issue with respect to incumbent politicians. Vast swaths of the core of political speech, much of it wholly unrelated to elections, would be restricted if this is successful. Got that? This article says no more First Amendment protection for any political speech that Congress or your state legislature decides might influence elections, regardless of its specific content. Any criticism of an elected official's record or communication about an upcoming vote could be restricted based on their proposal, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphone. We can discuss the issue. You tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Would love to hear from you today. Is this something you're concerned about? Are you concerned about the loss of the presidency by the loose, lax, lost liberals on the left and the socialist Marxist Democrats that wants to destroy our constitutional rights under the First and the Second Amendment, the religious liberties and the freedom of speech? Are you concerned about that? Here's an article that says, a dangerous attack on religious freedom and speech. And it's going back to dealing with, and I've talked about it a number of times, so at the risk of redundancy, let me talk about it a moment again, because here's a fresh article. It says, a dangerous attack on religious freedom and free speech. House Bill 5 is a bill that pushes the LGBTQ agenda on all people and targets in particular Christianity and every area of life, including the church. There will be an increased instance where Christians and others will be punished and prosecuted unless they violate their faith and their belief in God in order to comply with such a law. And that is just the beginning of the unconstitutional chaos that's taking place in America. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
It's very interesting to me as you discuss this potential legislation. The left oftentimes tries to tag Christians, conservatives, and Republicans as fascist, as if we operate legally as putting our values upon some, forcing them to do X, Y, or Z, when truly, what's the fellow's name? I forget it now. Wrote the book Liberal Fascism. The left, they operate in a fascist capacity. They want to compel, they want to force their agenda, their ideology, their bent. They want to force it upon the entire culture. If they need to write rules and laws and regulations so as to prohibit you from speaking or engaging, they'll do it. I mean, going all the way back to the Johnson Amendment, that's what that was intended to do. We're going to shut off Christians. We're going to prevent them, Christians and Catholics, prevent this entire category from engaging. Well, why do they do that? So they can be victorious. Right now, they will consistently talk about voter suppression. Anytime a conservative wants to make sure that people aren't registered in multiple states and voting in multiple states, that's voter suppression, according to the left. Whenever we want to make sure that an individual's not an illegal alien voting, that's called voter suppression, according to the left. You know, these folks they would rewrite every rule, every regulation in order to advantage themselves, just as the last administration used every tool of government, every agency of government, in order to maintain perpetual power for the left within Washington, D.C. It is disgusting, it is perverse, it is twisted.
It really is, and Greg, if I may throw another thought out, one of the things that is so disconcerting to me and has caused such a deep-rooted concern about the future, unless we reelect President Trump and others like him in office, is that if we lose our freedom of if we lose the First Amendment, our churches will close. Voices will be silenced. We can no longer stand and say, thus saith the Word of God. A church will no longer be able to preach against sin. In fact, in this particular article titled A Dangerous Attack on Religious Freedom and Freedom of Speech, says this, it's talking about House Bill 5. This bill literally sets the stage for banning the Bible in every aspect, which offers the power to free those wanting to turn away from sin and to the Lord. And there is no religious exemption in House Bill 5. By the way, it passed overwhelmingly by 240 votes with Nancy Pelosi and others. It's 9 to Senate, 46 senators have signed on. Fortunately, it's a lame duck in the Senate, and I pray that it'll never see the daylight of a president's pen, but it is there, and if President Donald J. Trump does not go back in office, if we do, as Christians and conservatives, do not put him back in the executive position of the leadership of our nation, these bills will, in fact, our listeners may not be aware of it, but the House have fast-tracked over 200-plus bills that are just like House Bill 5 that will literally, with a sweeping, one-fell swoop, destroy our religious liberties, freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms if President Donald J. Trump is not in office and someone else is there to sign those bills into law. What are your thoughts?
Well, the left today in the House of Representatives is exposing what their agenda is for the next 10 or 20 years. I'm thankful in one respect. We're finally getting an honest view at how radical the left is, how Pelosi and her crowd, how this gang of four, this, you know, whatever, AOC and her pals, how radical and twisted. And they're the ones driving the agenda. You know, for decades now, they've tried to call themselves progressive. And I've always asked the question, if it's progress, to what end is it progress? Where are we taking this train? Well, now we know it's the crazy train to perdition. It is the road to hell, and it's paved with good intentions on their part, but it will destroy America. It will destroy the American family. It will destroy the American system of economics. It will destroy and subjugate Christianity in some form or fashion or another. I am, again, thankful that finally we're getting a glimpse at how crazy that group really is.
And the thing that is sad, and Greg, I'm looking at an article here, and our listeners may be, may understand the truth of it. It says the fake news movement is a war on conservatives and Christians and our beloved First Amendment. A common refrain from both conservatives who criticize the inflammatory commentary is that the First Amendment rights are being violated. The Free Speech Alliance and arm of the right-leaning Media Research Center claims the social media giants in collusion with the radical left roots out silent conservative speech on the platforms and across the Internet. End quote. It goes on to talk about how we're seeing the fake media link in arms with the social media platforms to literally, if you please, prevent free speech and conservatives to have a say-so and a place to speak. Are you finding, what do you think in relationship to things like Twitter and Google and others that are basically foreclosing the religious liberties and the freedom of speech? They're basically saying that we're going to be the hand of government along with the fake media to foreclose the freedom of speech and cancel the freedom of speech, First Amendment, religious liberties.
Yeah, your Twitter and Facebook are prime examples. They're not waiting on legislation. They are operated, they're controlled, they're managed by elements of the left, and they are already shadow banning. They're already blocking things. They're already tagging things. They have their truth squad, if you will, out there. And if you post an article that they don't like, all of a sudden it's going to be tagged that it's a questionable article because the fact checkers have questioned some element of your story. Now they don't do that with the left. They don't typically shadow ban the left, where people, you place a posting, you put, Facebook item, a meme or whatever, link on your page, and all of a sudden, you have thousands of followers, thousands of folks looking at your page. Well, they just don't see that. They don't. It doesn't pop up on their feed, and that's taking place consistently because the left already controls those media outlets. The thing is, they are no longer a neutral platform. They are given protections at the federal level because they're neutral platforms, or they purport to be. However, they are actively engaged in editorializing. They're actively engaged in controlling the content. They're controlling the dissemination of the content. So as far as I'm concerned, and I think Ted Cruz is absolutely right, if you're going to operate this way, these protections need to be removed. Now you ought to be subject to libel and slander and everything else that comes from your platform, because you do have the ability to editorialize or to edit the content. That's what they're doing. They're editing content, and they're suppressing conservative voices, suppressing Christian voices, and allowing the left to run rampant. It's taking place at an advanced pace. By the time we get to November 2020, I believe we will see just about complete suppression of conservative voices.
Yes,
if we continue
on that is what I'm concerned about. And Greg, they claim it's the algorithm that does that. Well, what I want somebody to answer for me is, who creates the algorithm that makes the decision if some of these things are going to be canceled or shadow banned?
They built the machine. They built the machine. They know exactly what they're doing. They're driving the ship, and they would love to see a Hillary Clinton type, go into the Oval Office, a Bernie Sanders type, an Elizabeth Warren type, and we know what these folks are about now. Again, the veil has been pulled back. We're seeing the revelation of the radical left. By the way, I'm losing this phone here, so
Greg,
I won't be able to continue with you to the end. But man, I really appreciate you. Love you.
Well, I wanted to bring this up, Greg. Here's an article by a Dr. Robert Youngblood, and of course, you and I both know the name, but we don't know the person. It says, criminalizing Christianity by attacking free speech. There are three groups in America and other countries like Canada, those in Europe, who are working to restrict free speech by labeling some speech as hate speech more than any other group. What strange bedfellows they make. The LGBTQ, the Muslims, and the secular humanists, our progressive mainstream media, are locking arms together to cancel free speech. He says, does all of this fall under the category of, you better be careful of what you wish or say? Yes, because history shows losing freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of press is a very, very dangerous pathway for America to take. So I'm concerned about that because, Greg, as I've said so often, if we do not have free speech, then preaching would go out of the window. And the scripture says in the Romans, the 10th chapter and 14th verse, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And listen, the scripture says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? It goes further to say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is promulgated by the preachers. And if we have no religious liberties, no freedom of speech, we have no preaching that could take place. And they're trying to squelch what is said by the Christian voice. Thank you for calling today, Greg. It's been a delight for us to talk.
Believers, don't be muzzled. Don't be muted. Stand up and speak up. There's a battle to be engaged.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on this issue of Let's Face the Issues, this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.